God is good. Awesome. Well, this morning as we get into the Word of God, I'm just going to open in prayer for the Word, and then we're going to just go into what God wants to say to us this morning. And the title of my message is Blueprint, and we're going to be talking about the blueprints of God. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, today that we can come as your people, that we have ears to hear and eyes to see what you are going to say to us today. We ask that you would speak to us in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. If you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. We'll bring it up on the PowerPoint. And we're talking about the story of Noah this morning. Now, last week we talked about Jonah. And today we're talking a little bit about Noah. And it says here, you guys know the story that the Lord appeared to Noah. Noah was walking with God. He was in relationship with the Father. And God spoke to him, and he said this in Genesis chapter 16. God said to Noah, build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat, and put a door on the side, and build three decks inside the boat, the lower, the middle, and the upper. All right? And so it's very interesting to see here that God is commanding Noah to build something for the safety of his family. And he's telling Noah that you have to build something with many rooms or compartments in it for the saving of who God wanted to save at that time, okay? So the ark represents a place of safety and security in the midst of the worst storm in human history. Now, that wasn't like a minor storm, as you understand. It was a worldwide flood. And that ark was designed as a place of safety in the midst of that storm. And today, as I talk about the ark and as I talk about blueprints, I want you to understand today I'm talking, in essence, to three different departments or three different institutions. It's the institution of marriage, the institution of the family, and the institution, the local church. Amen? And the ark really symbolizes, as we look through the New Testament, it really symbolizes a type of Jesus. Amen? It is a shadow of Christ. And actually, we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, it says, Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Amen? And how many know we're living in dark times? I mean, there's things happening. We look and we see the evilness of man's heart. We see wars. We see terrorism. We see sexual promiscuity happening. We see all of this evil happening around us. And Peter comes with this message, save yourself, get into the ark, which is Jesus Christ. So when the judgment of God comes, you'll be safe in that storm. Amen? And so this is a message of Peter to those who is preaching at here. Now, as we look at verse 14 again in Genesis, we see this, that God does something. All right? God basically gives Noah the materials to build with. Number one, he says, I want you to build it out of cypress wood, and I want you to build it out of tar. Now, cypress wood is a wood that, in some translations, they call it gopher wood. It's a wood that, it's a hardwood that doesn't waterlog easily. And how many know when you're floating around for months and months on end, you don't want a wood that's going to waterlog, right? And so God said, build it out of this type of wood. He also gives Noah the dimensions, which is very interesting, 450 feet by 75 feet by 40 feet. And I want to say this, it's interesting, because God knows the right dimension, God knows the right number of departments, and the right materials to build your family, your destiny, and the local church. God knows exactly what you need for your destiny. God knows what departments, how many departments you need. God knows how many, what kind of material you need to get to the place that God's calling you to go. Isn't that good news? And I find this very interesting. I read an article called The Flawless Floater by Kyle Butt. He has a Master of Divinity, and he said this. God instructed Noah to build an ark that was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. This is a ratio of 30 to 5 to 3, which is the length, the breadth, and the height. Until about 1858, the Ark was the largest floating ship ever created. In terms that we understand better, the Ark was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. In 1844, a man named Isambard Brunel built his giant ship, the Great Britain. Some of you, if you know about ships, you understand that. He used almost the exact ratio of the Ark, 30 by 5 by 3. And as it turns out, these dimensions are the perfect ratio for a huge boat built for seaworthiness and not for speed. Okay? Obviously, the Ark was not built for speed since it had nowhere to go. What is more, shipbuilders during World War II used approximately the same ratio to build a ship known as the SS Jeremiah O'Brien, one of the group ships known as the Liberty Ships, which were referred to as the Ugly Ducklings, a barge-like boat to carry tremendous amounts of cargo, just like the Ark. How did Noah know the perfect seagoing ratio to use in building the Ark? And how, like Bruno and others like him, had generations of shipbuilding knowledge to use, but Noah literally was the first to build a boat. Where did he get such information? And that's another thing, looking at the Bible and saying, you know, how could he have known the ratio? It's been there in the Bible. He had the perfect ratio. And I want to say this, that even if you've looked at something, God's calling you to do something that no one has ever done before, God knows how to get there. Amen? God knows the exact ratio. Isn't that good news? Now, I had a friend in Kingston. He's a professor in math at the university. And there was this big conference, I believe it was in Paris. And it was all the world's greatest mathematicians were invited. But in order to be invited, you have to have this really cool equation that nobody has ever thought of. And you have to send it in, and then you either get approved or disapproved. Now, he sent in his, and he was disapproved. So he couldn't go to this conference. Now, how many would like to go to a mathematician conference? Let me see your hand here. Well, I thought the same thing, but he was excited about this. He really wanted to go, and he said he didn't know what to do. So he went to the Lord, and he said, Lord, I really want to go to this conference. It's important to me. Help me, Lord. And he went to sleep that night, and he had a dream. And in the dream, he was given an equation. He woke up and wrote it down, and he sent it in, and they were so amazed he was invited to the conference. Isn't that awesome? Because he came up with an equation that nobody had thought of, and where did it come from? It came from the heart of God. Amen? There had never been a flood before. We never needed large boats before, but God knew exactly how to build it so that he could go to his destiny. And I want to say that this morning. God knows what you need. He knows the material, and he knows the dimensions, the measurements that you need to go where God wants you to go. You know, here's some important points about this passage. Number one, and I have a PowerPoint there. Number one, the Ark's purpose was to save lives. I want to say this, the purpose of the family, all right, is to save lives. If you're a mother and father, you're saving the lives of your children by influencing them with the gospel. Amen? And then they can go out and save lives. Why? Because you've given a place of influence. Amen? And God will give you the blueprint for your family. God will give the leaders of a church the blueprint for the church. Amen? How many departments does the church need? How far are we going to expand our borders? Has God called us locally, or has he called us to go international? God will begin to define, and he will give us the blueprint, and if we'll only listen, we'll build according to the pattern. Number two, the builder is not God, but righteous men and women. God's not going to build your marriage. God's not going to build your family. God's not going to build the church. It's going to be us that do it, right? We're going to build it as God actually reveals the plan. Number three, God delivers the plan to the builder. Whether you're building a marriage, whether you're building a family, whether you're building relationships, whatever you're building, God will deliver the plan to you. And that's why it's so important that we learn to pray. Because as we hear God, he begins to give us the blueprint for our lives. Number four, the builder needs to decide if he will follow the plan. I know so many people, they don't follow the plan of God. How many know that this is the plan of God for your life right here in the scripture? This is the first place we go is the Word of God. And people say, well, I just don't like what this says right here. This is going to cost me too much, so I'm not going to do that. And how many know when you do that, you're not following the plan of God? So what happens is if your life capsizes, guess whose fault it is? It's not God's. It's our fault. Number five. The ark took people from a place of corruption to new beginnings. Isn't that good? When we follow the plan, God helps us to build a place of safety for our families, a place of safety for our marriages, a place of safety for our church, so that we can take people from a place of corruption to new beginnings. Amen? And if we do it according to the plan, according to the blueprint that God reveals to us, guess what? We will take people from a place of corruption to a place of new beginnings. Amen? And so God is calling us to be a people that hear the blueprints of heaven and build like Noah did according to the plan. Now, what if Noah would have said, you know what, I just don't think I'm building this boat 450 feet wide long, 75 feet wide. I think that's a little too wide, God. I think I'm going to make it 40 feet wide. Now, how many know that would have been a mistake? The first wave of sea, you know, that thing would have capsized. And sometimes if we don't follow according to the plan, our lives can capsize. And I want to say this morning is that God is speaking to us about our lives. Amen? I can't tell you the times that the Lord has woken me up and spoken to me in a dream or through a person in regards to the safety of my children or different situations. And God has given me insight because God is talking to us. Amen? The Bible says that he is the good shepherd and the sheep know his voice. The voice of a stranger they won't follow. So you will hear the voice of God as you begin to seek him. You know, looking at the church, the upper level of the ark would represent heart-motivated outreach, okay? The second level, I wish I had a picture to show you this, the second level underneath would be transparent relationship, but the foundation is doctrine, fellowship, and prayer. Amen? Let me say it again. Doctrine, fellowship, and prayer. What is doctrine? Doctrine is actually something that is taught. It's a collective teaching that people are under and agree on. Amen? And so the Bible says, let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 6, I think it is. No, I didn't write the scripture, but I'm going to find it in my Bible here just a second. Yes, the upper level is heart-motivated outreach. The middle level is transparent relationships. And the foundational level is doctrine, fellowship, and prayer. Those are heavy things. Amen? But as your family, if you don't have a teaching that you can unify under, a collective doctrine for your family, okay, and including with the family and the church, okay? If you don't have fellowship, open fellowship with one another, and you don't pray together, nothing else works. All right? If you try to put all that stuff on the top deck and whatever's on the bottom is light, that thing's going to capsize. Amen? Families that pray together, what? Stay together. All right? And so Acts chapter 2, it says here, verse 42, the church begins to grow, and it says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. So what did they do? They continued steadfast in doctrine, in fellowship, and in prayer. Amen? And those three things are so important. God began to speak to me even about my own family. If I take time to work out sitting down and teaching what I believe, fellowshipping and having a good time with my family, and praying together, that foundation we can build on. Amen? It's very important. How many would agree that that's important? All right? And so the ark, to me, represents this. A stands for architect. R stands for revealing, and K stands for knowledge. All right? And so the architect is revealing knowledge. The architect revealed knowledge to Noah that he had no idea how to build a boat. Never had seen water. Ark, God, architect revealing knowledge. Okay? And so I want to look at another example this morning in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5 here. And this is speaking about Moses. Okay? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. And it says here, they serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning. Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern that I have shown you here on the mountain. And when Moses went up to the mountain, that was a place where he met with God. And God is saying, make sure that when you build the tabernacle, you build it according to the pattern in heaven. Amen. What does the Lord's Prayer say? On earth as it is, what? In heaven. And I want to say this, as saints of God, when we have encounters with God, which we call our mountaintop experiences, and I'm going to tell you, in those places with God is where he will reveal to you the pattern for your family, the pattern for the church, the pattern for your marriage. Amen? See, it's interesting because in his presence, in the secret place, is where we hear his voice, isn't it? And I want to take you to another scripture so we get the context here. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 to 35. We're going to read about Moses for a second. We're going from Noah to Moses. You guys good? All right. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. When you speak to God, and when God speaks to you, your face in the spirit begins to shine. All right? So when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiant face of Moses, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them and asked Aaron and all the leaders of the community to come over, and he talked with them. And then all the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them all the instructions that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. So what was Moses doing? He was bringing the blueprint. All right? You see that? And then Moses finished speaking with them. He covered his face with a veil. And verse 34 is important. But whenever he went into the tent of meeting, say, tent of meeting. But I want you to say it this way. But whenever he went into the secret place, say that with me. Whenever he went into the secret place to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until he came out again. Then he would give the people whatever instruction the Lord had given him. And the people of Israel would see the radiant glow on his face so that he would put a veil over his face until he returned to speak with the Lord. And so I want to say this, that God speaks on the mountain and in the secret place. Amen? And when he came down the mountain, everybody focuses on the face. We hear sermons about this. The face of Moses was glowing because of the glory of God. But we forget what was in his arms. The tablets. The key is when you meet with the glory of God, God will always speak. And when he speaks, he's going to give you instructions. He'll give you the blueprint. And he brought down the blueprint of morality for the nation because he had just been in the glory of God. And I would go to say that every time you meet with God, as enjoyable and awesome as it is, the most important thing is that you hear the voice of God and you get his instruction for your life. Isn't that good? You know, I read a story today, this week about David Wilkerson. How many of you know David Wilkerson? Okay, he's the pastor of Times Square Church in New York. I believe he started Teen Challenge Ministries, right? And he's a great, Yes, he's passed away a few years ago now. He's with the Lord, but he was a great man of God. And I remember he said to his wife, I feel that I need to spend more time with God. Because I think if I can spend hours a day in the presence of God, my face will start to glow. And it's going to make evangelism really easy because he's a soul winner. So he's telling his wife this. And so for a period of time, he begins to seek God. He spends hours and hours in the presence of God, worship music going, doing all this stuff. And after a period of time, they go to a restaurant together, him and his wife. And they're sitting in the restaurant, and they're talking. And all of a sudden, David looks over, and he sees a girl sitting on the other side of the restaurant. And she keeps looking at him. And when he looks over, she looks down. And he notices she's looking, and he says to his wife, "She can see the glory of God. It's happening. God, she can see the glory of God. You watch." So she got up to walk over, and he leaned over to his wife, and he said, "You watch. She's going to come say something about the glory of God." She walks over and goes, "Excuse me, sir, are you Hugh Hefner?" She thought he was the king of smut. Who is, as you know, the CEO of Playboy magazine. So he actually got the different result. But what's important is not is not that God sees that people see the glory on us, but that when we're in the glory, that we get direction and instruction for our lives and for our marriages and for our family. It can be something very simple that God speaks that will bring you into a destiny that God's called you to be in. Amen? The presence is wonderful. How many love the presence of the Lord? But revealed knowledge is equally important. Amen? And you begin to look through the scripture, you see that every person that experienced the glory of God had a word from the Lord that came to their life. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 6. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And this is when, just give you the context of what's happening, is Paul is on the road on his horse or donkey on the way to Damascus, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost clotheslines him off the horse, and he's laying there. For all those of you who think the Holy Ghost is a gentleman, he just came and just clotheslined, MMA style. He's laying on the ground. He looks up. He sees Jesus and in all of his glory, and he's trembling, and he's astonished, and he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." When you encounter the glory of God, sometimes God will direct you, but sometimes he'll say, "You need to go over here." Amen. Because God had chosen someone to give the message. God doesn't just speak to us one-on-one. Sometimes he sends us to have somebody else in relationship speak into our lives. Amen. How many have had that happen? Amen. And other times he speaks different ways. Sometimes he'll use different situations. We had a woman come in last week. I don't know if she's here this morning. She got saved. She said she woke up in the morning and she heard a voice saying, "Go to Crossroads." She came into this church and she didn't know anything about the Lord. She got saved. Amen? Isn't that good? So God will speak different ways. Sometimes God will send you to a location to hear from a person. Sometimes he speaks directly. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua was going, and the Lord appeared to him and said, "You will not let the law of the Lord depart from your mouth. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you." And this is exactly what you're going to do. And he gave him detailed plans, a blueprint that was like so detailed that Joshua was confident. He knew exactly what he wanted him to do. But sometimes he'll speak also through unexpected vessels. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 28, God speaks through a donkey. Amen? I remember praying and seeking God for direction, and I'm going to church. I had to make a decision in my life. It wasn't coming from the pastor. It wasn't coming from the saints. I just kept seeking the Lord. I went to work, and some potty mouth sailor guy I was working with, contractor guy, didn't know the Lord. He said, "You know what I think you should do?" And he said, "Do, do, do, do." And it was exactly what I was praying about. I said, "Where that came from?" He said, "I don't know." And it was like, God will speak. Amen? God will speak if we'd only have ears to hear. But the most important way that he speaks is through his written word. Amen? One thing that we need to do in 2016 as a church is we need to hear God in our tent of meeting for our marriages and for our families and for our relationships. Amen? Sometimes we're so busy about trying to hear God about, should I get this job? Should I move to this location? All these things are temporal. They're important, but they're not that important. The things that are important are the things that will last into eternity. The relationships we build, how we raise our kids, you know, how we treat others. These things we need to build. Amen? And this is what God is is wanting us to focus on. So this week, we're doing a week of fasting. Amen? Now, some of you might say, okay, well, you know, this is new to me. That's okay, we'll fast a meal. Or go on a Daniel fast. But make a decision between you and the Lord that I'm going to make a sacrifice this week. Some of you, you'll fast the whole week because you're experts at it, right? But whatever it is, make this a week of getting in the secret place with God and hearing God. Amen? And hearing God concerning your family, hearing God concerning your relationships and where God has taken you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18 says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like a hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, when they have the reward, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. So you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is where? In the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. All right? And I want to talk to you for a moment about secret place prayer. There's many different types of prayer. And I have little kids. How many got little kids? And I have trained my kids. And I tell them, that's your private spot. Don't show anybody that. So if a guest comes over and they're coming into the shower and they're like, I'm naked. And they run in and they put clothes on. How many know that? How many have trained your kids that way? That's your private spot. Amen? Nobody sees that. Okay? But the doctor. And mommy and daddy when they change you. But nobody else can see it. Until you get married. No, we don't even go there. But we teach our kids that, right? It's your private spot. That's only for you. And I think it's interesting that when God had decided for human men to have a covenant with him, that they would cut off the foreskin, there was a circumcision in a private spot that nobody else could see. Right? In the New Testament, our heart is circumcised. Nobody can see the motives of your heart, only God. And I think with secret place prayer, our prayer has to be very transparent. And it's hard for people like me, and who, you know, we think we're spiritual and we pray. How many know, you know, we're professional prayers? You've been around someone, they start praying, and it's like they pray all the right scriptures. They say amen at the right time. They got the right voice inflection. It's like, man, I wish you could pray like that. Well, God's not impressed with that. That type of prayer is good for warfare. Amen? But secret place prayer is different. It's where you expose the private spots. Where you come before the Lord and say, Lord, I used to love your presence. But now I love watching TV more than your presence. What's wrong with me, God? Would you change my heart? Can you help me to return back to that secret place? God, I don't know what to do with my kids. I feel like Johnny here, my oldest kid, has lost interest in you. God, what can I do to reach his heart? Where have I made mistakes? It's secret place prayer. It's intimate, deep. I'm just giving you examples. It could be anything. But it's where you reveal into me, you see, God, this is who I am. And it's messy, but it's just sharing your heart. And that's why David was a man after God's heart. How many read the Psalms and you thought, here's a guy who's just like, God, I love you. I'm so broken. I want to kill my enemies. I want to feed them to the, you know, and he just like pour out everything. How many know what I'm talking about? God wants you to, he wants you to come to him and begin to dump and begin to talk honestly and openly and humbly and say, God, these are the areas of my life. God, I know I should be here, but I'm not. Can you help me? And it's these secret place prayers for God. You touch heaven. Amen? You're feeling far from the presence of God, and so you go into like warfare prayer and start quoting every scripture and everything. All you need to do is come before the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I want to love you like I used to love you. Do something in my heart. Forgive me for spending more time with Netflix than with you. Whatever it is. Is that right? I'm just being transparent. And you'll be surprised that God will begin to give you a blueprint. Amen? And it might be the simplest thing. You know, how many know my wife's been gone for a week? I don't know how single moms do it that work. I think you should all get a trophy, first of all. Because, I mean, that's hard. You know, you work all day. Let's hear it for single moms, okay? All right. Here I am, working all day, doing pastoral work, dealing with people, too, and then coming home to the kids. And I love the kids. We have a good time, right, son? High five, buddy. I got to be careful what I say. But, no, they're good kids. But I noticed that I got a little snappy this week. And with my correction, you know, a little snappier than normal, you know, and lifting my voice. So the Lord gave me a blueprint because I was spending time with them. So I sat down with the kids. I'll tell you the first part of the blueprint. I won't tell you the second because it's personal. But I sat down with the kids. I said, Lord, I said, the Bible says that a soft answer turns away anger. And I said, I noticed that you kids have been snapping at one another, yelling at one another, and fighting. And I said, but first of all, I want to ask you to forgive me because I've been disciplining in anger. Will you forgive me? And all the kids looked at me with puppy eyes, except for my son. He's too cool for that. They all looked at me with puppy eyes, and they all said, we forgive you, Daddy. And you know what? The fighting stopped. Why? Because I set an example. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit was saying, I'm going to teach you another way. Isn't that good? And when we spend time in the secret place, God will give us little nuggets of truth for you that will work for you, will work for your situation, wouldn't work for the person next to you, but will work for you because God knows you and because you've shared your heart openly. Isn't that good? Right? And I think this week as we move into fasting and prayer, I want you to seek God for a blueprint. Or for a pattern. Maybe it's not a blueprint. You just need a certain pattern for your life. For your family, okay? For your relationships. For your life. Amen? Aren't you going to have us fast and pray for the church? No. Because if you have a healthy family, you'll have a healthy church. Amen? So if everybody's fasting and seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, how can I bring my family under the lordship of Jesus to a higher level? Right? And we're all doing that. Guess what? The church gets healthier. Amen? And so we're not praying for the church. If you want to, if you feel led to, go for it. But I really think that we need to focus on our personal families and ask the Lord to begin to speak to us in that way. How many want to do that this week? Amen? I get so excited because, you know, it's sometimes it's just the simple things. Getting still before the Lord and asking the Lord to restore your heart or telling him, listen, I'm sorry, I put this before you. And all of a sudden, the switch goes back. Isn't that right, Clara? Because God is after intimacy. He's after relationship. Amen? So the bottom level of the ship is what? It's fellowship. What was the first one? Doctrine. Doctrine, fellowship, and prayer. Amen? And they go together. So what we have here in most churches, you got the guy up here, the talking head, the preacher, right? In this case, it would be myself or my father up here, preaching the word of truth. We're preaching truth, but there's no fellowship. There's no intimate fellowship. And that's what small groups is about, is that you get together and you begin to fellowship and you begin to use your gifts and you begin to prophesy and you begin to hear the Lord and you begin to speak into each other's life. Amen? And now the ministry isn't just about the preacher. It's about the church being activated to go to new levels in God and to grow together. Isn't that awesome? And that's what they've seen as you do research, that people that come to a church where the preacher is just preaching all the time and there's no fellowship, the growth takes twice as long. But if you go to a small group setting where you're in small group and you begin to minister to one another, your growth will go quick. Isn't that true? All right? Because God's never designed the church to be a bunch of people listening to a talking head. It doesn't work that way. Yes, the truth is given, but I'm here as a cheerleader. Pastor Jacques, we're here to cheer you on. We're here to coach you, but you're to go, and you're to pastor, and you're to prophesy, and you're to lead, and you're to teach one another. Amen. Isn't that good? So God wants that in the church. And so with the small groups, as I'm closing here, I want to say this. Small group is the key to empowering Christians to grow and to mature. Okay? The future leaders of this church will develop through small group ministry because we want everything to be done at a relational level. All right? Because if Jesus was just preaching to a crowd, he would dismiss a Peter. But when he got to know Peter's heart, even though Peter had issues, he saw the leader in him. And that's where you're going to see the calling of God in people, is in small settings where you get to know each other. Does that make sense? It's a place to develop your spiritual gifts. It's a place it's a good place. And so we want to encourage you guys to be part, to look at the sign-up sheets and to make a decision if you're going to be part of a small group as we move forward. All right? The main thing is small groups bring fellowship, spiritual growth, and empowered lay ministry. Now, I was never big on small groups. I never enjoyed them. I still would prefer to come to a meeting than go to someone's house. But you know what I found? When we were in Kingston, we were in small groups and we connected. And over a period of time, as we were committed, we began to bond. We began to be more transparent. And God began to speak to me through others in that group. And I began to speak to others. God spoke through me to others in that group as we got to know each other. And the growth was phenomenal. Amen? And I think that if the bottom level of the boat, right, is the Word of God, fellowship, and prayer. Remember, the fellowship has to be between that. The next level is transparent relationship. And then the outreach comes next. Because you know what? God wants to add to the church daily those who are being saved if he knows that they're being added to a family and not an institution. Amen? And like Clara said, and I would agree with her because I've been to a lot of churches and I know I'm pastoring here, but this is one of the most friendly, it actually is the friendliest church I've ever been part of. So I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying, let's go deeper. Let's keep pressing into this thing because God is doing great things in 2016. Amen? Amen. Why don't we stand together? And can we end with a praise song? That would be awesome. So just as before we just press into worship, if you're in this place and you just feel, and I don't care how many days or how many meals, none of that's important, only it's between you and God, but you say, I feel a call this week to fast and pray for a blueprint and a pattern from heaven. Just lift your hands with me. Just lift your hands. All right, and if you want to just, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that as I humble myself and I come into the secret place, that you're going to reveal the blueprint. You're going to reveal a pattern that's going to bring me to a new destiny. It's going to bring me to a new place. And to you all the glory. In Jesus' name. I believe right now, there's some of you who've been praying. You maybe have loved ones who aren't saved, and you've just been praying. And you've been so frustrated. And I feel this week, as you begin to seek the Lord in prayer and fast, God will begin to give you keys. And you will say, oh, it was that easy. God will begin to give you strategy. God will begin to give you plan because he's more interested in your life than you are, believe it or not. And as you begin to humble yourself and pray with the purpose of saying, Lord, help me in my relationships. God will begin to open doors. He'll begin to give you strategy. Isn't that good news? Good news. He's a good God. He's a good God.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah. We're going to begin to praise the Lord. And, within the next 5 or 10 minutes, if you have kids, just go up and grab your kids. I'm going to grab mine. But bring them down and worship if you'd like. The church service is officially closed right now, but we're going to worship. And if you need to, please sign up. If you're feeling God leading you to sign into the small groups, look at the clipboards. Amen. And make a decision today. God bless you. Let's worship.